Right. June 29, 1996, in someplace near Rochester, New York. And listen to this. Hey, man, that is beautiful, Rafa. Well, I'll go ahead and cut that off, and we'll come back after questions and answers. Now, the reasons we don't... The word that you want to look at here is the word for this, reason. And then you got to ask, what's he talking about? For what reason? What's the this? And it's very difficult to figure out what the this is. Is it his eternal purpose, or is it for this, for the building? Is it for salvation? Is it for the church? Why don't you just spend a little time on the word this, would you? Anybody that's got some spare time today for this reason? Chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul. Gosh. Really frustrating. Must be something I can look through that see that read this. I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you heathen.
Amen.
Yeah, but before I read any further on, I want you to know that what we're about to read doesn't make sense and is incredibly beautiful. Remember, he's never seen these people. How can I say that Paul feels so connected to a church that even though he is a non-local worker and he travels, he feels that what happens to them happens to him and what happens to him happens to them? This is so beautiful, saints. And when I was in Denver 2 weeks ago, I said to them, I want you to look at the romance between church and church planter. There's not as much of that in Ephesians as there is in Colossians, but there is a romance going on between church and church planter. It's beautiful. Their care for one another, their thoughtfulness for one another, their failures toward one another. And they do both fail. Paul had to apologize to Corinth several times because he felt he had not kept his word with them, although he had defended himself. But I'd like to go a little further and say this to you. You need me, except I'm using words now, Paul's, accept me into your heart as part of your life. You need me. There are only a few of us, and we are literally the spice of your life. You would marry, you would have children, you would have a job, you would get fired, get another job, you would save some money to retire, you would live, and then you would die. We don't do that. We just get fired and fired and fired and fired. Or we have to work solo for a living because we don't fit in. Some of you have gone with me to England. Some of you have gone with me to Scotland. Some of you have gone with me to Albania. You've gone with me to Romania, and you've gone with me to Hungary, and you've gone with me to other churches and other places and pioneer situations, and you just had so much fun. You'd have never had if you'd not let me. I am spice to your life. I'm keeping you from living a mundane, vanilla life.
Warriors.
Now then, the brothers and sisters in Philadelphia poke fun about this one time, and I really enjoyed that, but they have a song that they sang to Brother Tim that went something like this: "And why are you running around with that old man? And the, between the two of you, you're spending all our money." Doesn't it go something like that? Yeah.
I think you were Turbot, right-haired apostle.
White-haired apostle.
White-haired.
Insert.
You're getting it right now. Because we are the spice of your life.
Praise the Lord.
We get in trouble, you get to pray for us. We do something wrong, you get to have fun. We get blasted somewhere, you get to giggle.
That's right.
You get to a vicarious experience of fun with us, and you get to go with us. You get to hear our wild tales. Yes, you get to help us. And we in turn rejoice in you, and we watch some of the crises you get into and just go through the ceiling when we see that you, with the Lord, have worked your way through her. It is so exciting. And the church is exciting. It's far more fun to be in the church than it is to just have two neighbors you gossip about all the time, but be with once or twice a month, you know, and you really love them. And then you get home and say, "Mary and John are about to get a divorce, you know. Did you see that little idiot kid of his who went out and stuck beans up his nose?" And what you don't know is all of our little children stuck beans up their nose, and everybody's about to divorce their wife or they're having problems. And in the church, we get a taste of a lot of this on a wider scale, and it, some way or other, it helps us become more natural. I don't know what I'm saying here, but I'm telling you it's more fun to be in the church. Sir? Thank you. And you get to live with us. And we get to live with you, and it's fun. And now we're moving into that kind of a passage right here. Again, I'm seeking to get you to get a flavor of what these letters really said.
Amen.
"For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, I'm in jail, in prison, in Rome, town you've never seen, never been to, only heard about. You're in a little town, about 5,000 down here in the southeast, in the south central corner of Asia Minor. And this next word could be since, not if, but since. Since indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which Brother David, wake up.
69.
"If indeed you, 69, have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you." Thank you, brother. I have been given a stewardship of God's grace for you, and yet I've never even met you.
Hallelujah.
That's amazing. "That by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief." All right, now, why don't scholars notice this little appendage here? Do you know what that's referring to?
First the
Yes, so why don't we call this Second Colossians?
Exactly.
The other letter, Colossians. Okay. All right. Paul has by revelation been allowed to know the mystery. And by referring to this, then you...
71.
Read... when you read it, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Brothers and sisters, one of the indications in my judgment of whether or not a man is really a church planter is whether or not he preaches on the mystery and whether or not he has insight into it. Try to find that guy. He is as scarce as molars in a chicken mouth. It's okay. And by referring to this, then you, when you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by means of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the apostles and the prophets who are speaking in this day have, by the Spirit, seen the mystery. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. That's verse 6. That the heathen, I don't know whether to count that one or not. Shall we? You don't want to count that one. The heathen are fellow heirs.
Yes, yes. Sanfifree.
Fellow heirs and fellow members. Fellow members of the body. This brother has a mind totally different from our own. Fellow heirs and fellow members. Now, this is part of the mystery, that somewhere in this, you who are uncircumcised and unclean, you get to inherit something, and you're part of a body. And fellow partakers. That's got an S on the end of it, doesn't it? Of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. We're in verse 6. So we're partakers, we're inheritors, and we're part of a body. We partake together, we heir together, that's H-E-I-R, and we also are part of a body. I don't inherit, we do. I don't partake, we partake. I am not the body, and I am not the greatest thing on this earth that ever happened. I am a solo Lindbergh out here. I am a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which I was made a minister. And I think the "of which I was made" refers to the gospel, but it also refers to the mystery. But brothers and sisters, the gospel is not Jesus saves. The gospel is Jesus Christ. And included within the gospel, which is Jesus Christ, and he has been called to proclaim Jesus Christ, within that is the mystery, the inheritance, the body, and the partaking. And you could spend a year talking about partaking of Christ, inheriting Christ, and being part of the body of Christ. But you probably won't do that unless you've been called to proclaim this incredible, universal, cosmological Jesus Christ. All right. I was, for this, made a minister. According to the gift of God's grace, which has been given to me according to the working of his power. And rather than get off on power here, I would just like to say that against his will, or totally apart from his will, God chose Paul of Tarsus to have a certain ability, and that ability is to preach this incredible Christ. And Paul considered it a grace. And for those of you who might rejoice in your gift, please remember that the brother who made that statement's gift was not to plan the church in his flesh. His gift was to destroy the church. And God broke that. And God will break your natural gift That was a gifted man who brought down the church in Jerusalem, saints. And then God blinded him and broke him, turned him around, headed him in the exact opposite direction of his gift. For those of you who say, well, God's gift for me is singing, then may you have laryngitis all your life. Which has been given as a gift to me according to the work of his power. His power and his grace are here tied together, saints. To me, the very least of all holy ones. You got it, brother. You have the gift now. This is wonderful. To me, the very least of all the holy ones, this grace was given, not this gift, but this mercy, unmerited, was given to preach to the heathen the unfathomable, unsearchable riches of Christ.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm just going to say it again.
Yeah.
It's not only that we preach Christ, but we just preach Christ and he gets richer, and we preach Christ and he gets richer and he gets more unfathomable.
Yeah.
And to the point you just can't believe that there's so much riches in him. And we have touched on these things this week, such as your Christ being excited about inheriting you and God giving this incredible cosmological creating Christ, giving him to the ecclesia as a gift. Those are unfathomable riches, and they can be fathomed. I am about to come to the conclusion that the organized church has reached a point, or has always been at the point, where the church feels uncomfortable hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. At least Christian workers do. Christian workers within traditional Christianity nervous by talking about the Lord. And if we are preaching what we should preach, we should be preaching unfathomable. That means you can drop a rope over the side of the ship and you can drop it as far as you can and tie some more rope on and some more rope, and then you rip the sails up and you make a rope out of them and you drop them, and then you take all the people's clothes and you tie that on, and then you take all the other rope and hemp and the stuff that's in the cargo hold, you tie that on, and then you can't find the bottom. That is the Christ you have a right to hear about and to touch and know.
Yes.
Amen. I lost my place here. I just finished 8, didn't I? By the way, I'm not exhausted. I hope you know I'm not exhausting this book. I'm just looking for some words to give to Brother David over here. Now this "and" refers back to his calling and to the mystery. The two points he made here, and that's to proclaim the riches of Christ. And by the way, there's always an "and" when we preach Christ. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God. God, who created all things in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known.
Hallelujah.
Through YWAM. Excuse me, I apologize to YWAM. Campus Crusade for Christ. I apologize, Campus Crusade for Christ. InterVarsity. I apologize, InterVarsity. Do you understand what he has said? He has said that I am a steward of the mystery. It is my privilege to preach an unrich, unfathomable Christ to you heathen. And this grace was given me to preach this unfathomable Christ for you, and that the manifold riches of God that are revealed in this mystery are not only revealed by me in my speaking, but are revealed by the church, in the church, through the church. There's always an and. And the and is that girl. I'm going to go back and read it again.
Yes.
Oh, boy. And to bring to light what is the administration, the working out of the mystery. The mystery of which has been hidden. He's off the subject here. Or he's on a duty here. Hidden in God. That's God the Creator. In order that the manifold wisdom of God, that is the wisdom of God to let the Gentiles know this, the wisdom of God to let you know Christ, the wisdom of God to let you know the mystery, the inheritance, the mystery of God to let you know that the wisdom of God to let you know how rich Christ is, the wisdom of God to let you have revelation of Christ and of the church, the wisdom of God for the church to be the custodian of the gospel and for the church to be one with Christ. All of this, that the manifold, the many-splendored, the multiplicity of the wisdom of God, inexhaustible, might now be made known by means of an instrument other than the church planter, but that which he has planted, that all these unsearchable riches, all the manifold wisdom of God, all the stewardship of the mystery can be made known by and through the girl. Brothers and sisters, the man is obsessed.
He's dying.
Amen.
Are we this?
Yes. Excuse me, just a moment. You came up with a number. I didn't know where it was. Or what was it?
Yay.
The church. Okay, thank you, brother.
I'm learning.
You have to be patient with me. Read it in the Weymouth.
Is the stewardship of the truth, which from all the ages, like sealed in the mighty sauce, the creator of all things, and sealed in order that the church might now be used and display to the powers, the authorities, and the heavenly realms, ethereal aspects of the wisdom of God. Is the Lord.
Boy, now, this is serious stuff for me. I haven't had enough time with any of the churches, none of them, including. Jerry, I can't see anything today. Cool boy, are you there? Will you come back here? You come right down here. I'm not touched on this in any of the churches. And I may even skip some passages here. In fact, I think I'll ask you to turn this off. I want to do this in each of the churches. I don't. Me, the very least of all the holy ones, this gift was given to preach to the heathen the unfathomable riches of Jesus Christ and to bring to light, let it be known, what is the administration, the working out of the mystery, which for ages was hidden by God the Creator, in order that the mystery.
Hallelujah.
I'm sorry. The manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities on earth. No. In realms unseen. And for those of you who sit and listen to me minister and wonder why in the world I talk so much about unseen, is because we belong in unseen realms. We have a right to places that have no dimension. We have the right to walk in there, which is the disputed territory between Christ and the enemy. And we walk into the unseen realms and we stand there. And we reveal to the principalities and powers just how smart God was in allowing the Gentiles to come and be a body, an inheritance, a partaking, a building. What else?
Something else.
A household, a citizenship, a nation, a temple. Thank you. And also just how rich we are. How over the Christ who has not been seen on this earth for 2,000 years, and to display to the enemy in real physical form in heavenly places that he's still alive and that he was so smart and that he is unfathomable in his riches and that he had a mystery hidden in him when the devil pulled his stunt, a mystery the devil didn't know anything about. Satan had no knowledge of, and God is daily revealing it to him and literally taunting him for his really dumb stunt that he pulled. To the principalities and powers, it has been given to the church to reveal the manifold wisdom of God, the unfathomable riches which are Jesus Christ in the church.
There are. Amen.
I hope you enjoy a hot tub. And all of that, the first, then we come to the and now he somehow makes a conclusion. All that I've just said to you was according to. And then here's Gene Edwards' obsession. The eternal purpose.
Oh, my God.
I have people rid me about God's eternal purpose. His ageless purpose. His eternal purpose to save men from their sins. His eternal purpose to evangelize the world. His eternal purpose. A purpose that preceded creation and will still be his purpose when creation is dissolved. A purpose that has nothing to do with the fall nor redemption. An eternal purpose. The fall began, the fall shall end. The eternal purpose precedes it. It's being worked out in the midst of the fall. And will continue to be worked out when there's not a molecule left anywhere. And all things will simply be spirit, spiritual, invisible, and unseen. He will continue working out his eternal purpose. And what is his eternal purpose? Same thing as his mystery. Christ in the church. May one. Until we are indistinguishably one. You go ahead, join your movements. God has purpose for you. You and I were destined to be in it. Find your satisfaction in organizations. But his eternal purpose is a partridge gland. Okay. Yes. Huh? I don't think so. Isn't that interesting? The little booklet, The Eternal Purpose, does, but it's out of print. Now, only when I get to Ephesians do I do this.
Jesus.
I suppose. Okay. I do in the Divine Romance. I guess I was thinking of an intellectual explanation, like the Living by the Highest Life and the Secret of the Christian Life. Well, you say, Gene, intellectual? Well, yeah, there's no... I move away from the parabolic to the explanation, the expository. Yes, sir. Huh? See, that's the UCLA tape in the little pamphlet, The Eternal Purpose. Yes, the UCLA tape. By the way, somebody found an ancient edition, the one you probably own is in a 10th or 15th generation. Somebody came up with a velour one. Yeah, we're now using a much better tape of that. Yeah, only there have I, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord.
79.
Not that he will, but he did. All that has to do with the completion of the eternal purpose has been done. Isn't that wonderful? All I have to do is go jump right in the middle of it. Amen.
Amen.
So this is the outworking of the gospel and the church exhibiting to the angels. All of this was according to the eternal purpose which Jesus Christ has already established, in whom we have, thank you, boldness and confident access through faith in him. What do we have boldness to enter into? I do believe it's the eternal purpose. Can you help me here? Am I mistaken? What Christ has carried out, we have access with boldness. Therefore, I ask you... I don't understand this. Colossae is hundreds of miles from Rome. Don't lose heart at my troubles. That's in itself is strange enough. What's this sentence doing here anyway? Therefore, don't lose heart at my troubles. That's strange enough. Look at the rest of the sentence. My troubles are on your behalf. For they are your glory. And I have to sit and stop and say, do you mean to tell me that everything you've written, Brother Paul, up till now in chapter 3, verse 13, is simply to encourage these people to not lose heart over the fact he's in prison? And the answer to that is yes. So, now you tell me there's not a romance going on between the Lord's people and the church player. Why would they lose heart in Colossae? I don't know, but they did. They were concerned about Paul being in prison, even though they had Epaphroditus. I've told you all of this so that you won't lose heart, that what is happening to me is for your sake. Now, God give us churches of which when... When you hear I've been thrown in jail by the Baptist, they'll say that was for us. And when Brother Tim goes to China and gets thrown in prison there, it was for your sake.
Yeah.
And you will rejoice in the strength that his being thrown in prison gives the churches, that the things we go through are for your sake. I want to tell you something, saints. I don't understand that. Don't ask me to explain it. But I am telling you that there is a relationship between church and church planter that enriches both of their lives. And when you suffer, we suffer. And when we suffer, it's for your building up. That is absolutely magnificent
and beyond my understanding, but may God haste the day when that makes sense to all of us. Praise the Lord. We're finished.